tonight I'm going to talk about how wisely have you been. Because you know what? We're actually being watched. We are actually being watched. So let's go over to 2 Corinthians 5:10. Because I want to read something to you here. Now, I'm going to read it from the ASV because I like what it says. It says, "But for we all must be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether it be good or bad." Now, you know, I was thinking about this. This has been pondering in my heart for, you know, a couple of months now. I had a chance to just think about this. I just took some vacation. I went to Israel for a while with my husband while he worked. I relaxed. And there's a lot of things that God was bringing to my heart. And this seemed to be the predominant thing. And I think today people live like they don't have to be concerned about anything except for, well, you know, I'm saved. I don't have to worry about anything. I accepted Jesus. I'm going to heaven. That's all that counts. But, you know, when the scripture we just read there, what you do here on the earth does count. You're being judged by what you have done or what you have not done. And you know what? I think we need to start thinking a little more eternally instead of just the here and now and enjoying the life. You know, we have this kind of a humdrum Christian life. And, you know, we're saved and we're thinking, oh, that's hunky-dory, we're happy, you know. I'm saved. I escaped the fires of hell, and that's good enough for me. And I think what God wants to do in this time and in this season is he doesn't want us to just exist. He has a divine purpose and a plan for each of us. In fact, just like Moses and David had a blueprint of the tabernacle or the temple and how to build it and the specifications, and they got into what? Moses went up and got into God's presence to find out what that blueprint was, correct? This is what our Father is doing now. He's drawing us into his presence because he has a blueprint that he has for what you're supposed to do, because he doesn't want you to get up in heaven when the time is your time to go and you have no rewards. Everything was burned up because it will be tested by the fire of God. I mean, the Bible says that. It says it, in fact, you can go jump back to 1 Corinthians, and we go to 3:13. So go on to 3:13, and I want to read here from the Good News Bible. It says, "And the quality of each person's work will be seen when the day of Christ exposes it. For on that day, fire will reveal everyone's work. The fire will test it and show its real quality. If what we built on the foundation survives the fire, the builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, then you will lose it. But you yourselves will be saved as if you had escaped through the fire." You know what? God's word is testing our deeds and our motives. He is. He's testing us. And you know what? It's up to us to structure and build our lives around God's purposes. And that's why I think God was wanting us to, you know, he knows the time is short. And so what he wants us to do is start projecting ourselves into that eternal purpose. Instead of just living the here and now and enjoying life's pleasures, which I don't believe he's against that. But you know what? If that's what's taking up all your time, you have no eternal passion for anything, then God is against that. Personally, I think so. Because it's taking all your time where he wants you to have an urgency. And I think that's for his things. And I really think he does. I think he wants you to have this real urgency. And I acquired that by going on these mission trips. And I'll tell you, the things that I saw in India and even in some other places and countries that I've been, it's amazing. And I'll tell you, the people over there, you talk about an urgency. These pastors that I work with, they have an urgency to get the gospel out. I mean, like nothing, like zeal. Like I look at them and I say, I think of the scripture where it says, the zeal of my Father's house has consumed me, the Bible says about Jesus. And that's what these guys are like. They have such a zeal, it just consumes them. And so I think he wants us to do something great for him that has eternal rewards. And so the Lord's purpose will not only bless you, but they will advance his kingdom in the earth as you co-labor with him to see people saved, healed, and delivered. And I think that's a very important thing. I like what Isaiah 42, 6 says, and 7. It says, "And I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeons, and those who dwell in darkness from the prison." We're supposed to do all that. When was the last time you talked to anybody about Jesus other than the Christian that is sitting next to you in church? You know, somebody that really doesn't know and anything about him. I mean, this is what God was saying. There's an urgency here. I, in my own heart, in my own spirit, really feel in my heart that Jesus wants to come back real soon. And we've got to do our part because not enough of the world has even heard the gospel one time. I think of India. There's, 1 billion people there, I think? 2%? How many? Is it about? I think it's about 1 billion. I think there's only 2% that are Christian. I know, maybe 15% that are Muslim or so, 13, and the rest are Hindu. And do you realize half of those people haven't even heard the gospel one time yet? Not even one time. They've never heard who Jesus is. And when these guys, they know that, and they go, they preach with fire. I mean, when Pastor John goes out there, he writes me back and he goes, "You are Lord, use me with signs and wonders. So-and-so got healed. This other woman got delivered from demons." And God used me in the book of Acts. I'm like, yes, this is exciting. And I'm like, I wish I was there. And you know what? Because they need that. They need to see the signs and the wonders. And we need to be the ones to walk in the signs and wonders. We're just to be the signs and wonders, okay? And, you know, I was just telling Doug as I was walking up here, and I said, I read once about John Wesley. You know, somebody asked, "How come people go to your meetings? And, you know, you get such a full house all the time." And he goes, "I don't know." He says, "I just set myself on fire, and they come to watch me burn." And I thought, I like that. And that's what I think God has been trying to impress upon me. Get excited about me. Get excited about the divine purposes that I have. Get the zeal that my son Jesus has. I think that he wants us all to have that. And so I think it's time to get really excited. But you know what? God does want to invite you into the center of his exciting purposes, okay? And I like what these rewards, because, you know, I think about these rewards, and there's two things that are going to happen. Either you're going to have, all those things burned up, you know, that you've done all those works, or you're going to reign. I mean, fully reign with Jesus. I mean, that's one extreme to the other, and I'll tell you what, I want to fully reign. I don't want my works burned up. I want eternity to count. You know, I think about the time on earth we are now. It's so minute compared to all eternity. It's like a speck of dot in a sheet of paper that covers the whole earth. I don't know how else I can explain. But I mean, you know, we're here, and yet it counts so much for how you spend the rest of your eternity. That's why God's saying, start thinking eternal. Start thinking eternal. You've got to start bringing your thoughts as high as God wants his thoughts. He says, right now, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, but he wants to bring our thoughts up to his thoughts, okay? He does. And in Revelation 3:21, this is what it says. Conquerors, I love this, this is the Message Bible. Conquerors will sit alongside me at the head table, just as I, having conquered, took the place of honor at the side of my Father. That's my gift to conquerors. And I thought, oh, I like that. That's a nice gift. You know what? I know there's a time now. There's a lot of shaking going on. There's a lot of things happening in the world. You know, this earth is groaning and moaning, and he wants to see the manifestations of the sons of God. What do you think those manifestations are? Signs and wonders, right? Getting excited about Jesus, preaching them. I mean, there was this book that I've ordered it, Like a Mighty Wind. Have anybody ever heard that book? I want to read that book, because I've heard about that book. Where, I mean, all kinds of people, I mean, they would do the miraculous things, like walk on water and stuff like that. Just like Jesus. And I'm like, I need to get that book in my hands. And it's ordered. And the devil trying to keep it out of my hands, because the first place, they can't find it anywhere. It got lost in the mail. And I'm like, I am going to get that book. I'm going to order it again. And I did. I still haven't gotten it yet, but But you know what? It says that, you know, the hour is coming when all these things are going to happen. And so God wants us as overcomers to be those pioneers, to pioneer the way. Just like I think I was thinking about, we're living in the Northwest here, and they were pioneers that came and opened the way for the rest of us to come. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to go in those uncharted places like India. I'm just going to use that as an example because that's the main thing right now. Actually, that was the one word God gave me tonight, was India. Why about India? What am I supposed to say about India? You want me to share my experiences in India? But as the weeks went on, he started sharing with me what he exactly wanted me to teach tonight, and this was this eternal purpose thing. And I believe that's what God wants to do. He wants us to go as pioneers into these uncharted territories where they don't know who Jesus is. And so, I just think that God wants to do a new thing now. He's moving. He's doing some very interesting things, and we've got to get on the train, okay? We want to go where he's going, and we want to do what he's doing, just like Jesus said, I don't do anything that I don't see my Father do. I mean, he does what he sees his Father do. He says what he hears his Father say. And we have to have ears to hear. We have to get into the secret place. We've got to move into that place where we hear God. Like, okay, God, you have a blueprint for me now. I need you to give me that blueprint. I need to figure out how to read that blueprint. And then I need to start building according to that blueprint. And I think that's what God wants each of us to do. And you know what? You have your own blueprint. I'm walking in my blueprint. I am not sure if I understand the whole thing. See, I can tell you I'm not really good with building and all that kind of stuff. But I'm trying my hardest to figure out this blueprint and get in it and understand it. And that's what God wants to do. And so I think he's just challenging us to get up higher. And he uses all kinds of things, and he wants us to use all kinds of demonstrations to show people that Jesus is real and he is the way, the truth, and the life. And you know what? I think he wants to equip us with the signs and the wonders and everything. I mean, he wants us to walk in those more than we do, probably. So he's ready to do this for us, but we have to get into that place where we can understand. I mean, he's not going to give his power to a baby. You know, somebody wouldn't give you a baby a gun, okay? A gun is powerful, right? It's got some power behind it. You got to get to that place where you're walking and you're hearing. And you walk, and you say, where? Okay, and then you go, and then you do. So anyway, so he has a purpose and a mandate and a commission in every city, every nation, every country. And we have to know in our own hearts, where are you sending me? And what is my plan to spread the gospel? You know, God, you all have gifts. We all have gifts. I mean, just last night you had Pat here. I'll tell you what, that woman gave me a prophetic word 3 years ago that said that I would have a mission field in a foreign country. That just came to pass this year, 3 years later. You know, never thought, I was listening to it coming tonight. That's why the Lord said, get out past and listen to her prophetic word. But I got the wrong one. I got the one 3 years ago, and I'm like, this is what she was talking about. You know, so we all have gifts like that. But you know what? Everybody is called to go out there and win souls. You know, I can give you a prophetic word. Pat can give you a prophetic word. We can lay hands on you and you can receive your healing. But you know what? There are souls out there, like I said, that have never heard the gospel one time. And we have to have a zeal in our hearts to get to them the truth. Because Jesus is that truth that they need to hear. He is the way. So anyway, the Lord is the builder and he wants us to co-labor with him. He wants us to co-labor with him. So once we receive that blueprint, it is imperative that we do things exactly the way we see and saw God doing. And so, because that's, he's got his plan, and we have to follow him in a very precise way. It's hard to do that if you're not hearing his voice and spending that intimate time with him. So how do you get the blueprint and the power, okay? I heard, I don't know, I think this might have been Todd Bentley, but I don't want to say that for sure, but I read this or I heard it somewhere and it just stuck in my head I loved it. And this is what it said. To the people without mixture, I will give my power without measure. Isn't that amazing? To a people without mixture, I will give my power without measure. In other words, what God is asking us to do is separate our lives from worldly influences. Now, he's not asking us to be reclusive, okay? He's not asking us to go in isolation. But he is asking us, like Daniel, not be a part of the Babylonian culture. He had to live in it, but he didn't participate in it. And so what we need to do is not have mixture in our lives. God is calling us to purity. Like you were saying during the Proverbs tonight with that scripture, that is exactly what God is calling to. He's calling us to be a pure people, without mixture, separated. We're in Babylon, so to speak, okay? We're in that civilization, that culture, but we're not to participate in it. And that's why Daniel had such authority that he had with the Lord, that God would answer his prayers, God would give an interpretation of dreams. God used them in a very mighty way. And so we're supposed to be like a Daniel. We're supposed to be like Jesus. And you know what? When you look at the scriptures, you see all the things that Jesus did. What did he do? He healed the sick. He delivered the oppressed of the devils constantly. I mean, these are the kinds of, and of course he preached the gospel, right? That's what he did. And so this is what God is asking us to do. I was thinking about this. I think he's bringing us to that place where he wants a whole bunch of Samuels. I had to think about Samuel, this cute little boy that just slept in the presence of the Lord. You know, he wanted to sleep right by the tabernacle, right by the altar. I mean, he had a heart that was so pure before God that God said he'll never let any of his words fall to the ground. And I think that we need to become those holy vessels so that God can bring us to that place where we can handle his great power. And I believe that he wants us morally cleansed, both in spirit, soul, and body. He's asking for consecrated vessels. Wow. And, you know, I think he has an agenda in this world, and that is to have the gospel preached to every nation and to every person. And in order to do that, there's so few of us that are willing to go to do that or willing to send someone else. I didn't know that I was really willing to go way back when, but I sure sent a lot of people. If they want to go be a missionary in Brazil, go for it. I'll support you. You know? But I think that's what he's calling. He's asking us to reach the world with the saving grace of Jesus Christ. God wants to make sure when you get to heaven that you have rewards. That's why he told us in advance. I mean, why bother to tell us if there's no rewards or it didn't matter either way or what you did with your life? It's nice to have a heads up on things. And he's given us many scriptures to give us a heads up that it does matter. All matters. And so we need to learn how to become those pure, yielded vessels in order to see what our Father's doing and then move in line with what he's doing, his purposes. Anyway, he wants us to have passion, okay? And he wants us to have passion to see those in spiritual darkness to see light. We have the light. We take for granted of it. It's like, oh, Jesus, we love him. You know, we have our own little world. But there's people out there that are dying. I don't know if you've ever heard any of these testimonies of people that have gone to hell, but I'll tell you what, I've heard a couple of them, and I'll tell you what, I would put a burden on you to go out and, you know, just yell it from the streets. And I'll tell you, it's just, you know, of course here in America, everybody thinks you're nuts. Yeah, they just don't understand. There's different ways that you have to approach people in different cultures. And so if I started yelling on the street, you need to, they would think I was nuts. And that would actually probably draw people away, you know. But I'll tell you what, if I laid hands on somebody and on the streets and all of a sudden their legs blew out, I bet you I'd get a crowd around me. So God will use different ways, but we do need to be willing to work with him, see what he's doing, and do what he does. I think Jesus had some ideas and ways he wanted to heal people. And you notice a lot of them were different ways and different things that he did. And in that culture, so we have to be concerned about the culture and not offend anyone and make them think that we're nuts. I mean, I'm a nut for Jesus, but I don't want them to be drawn away from Jesus because of my actions. My whole goal is to draw them to Jesus. And so we've got to be really careful about that. So God is looking for those who will seek his heart, wait for his counsel, and expect to hear his voice. okay? Because he has some revelation he wants to give us. And I want to hear it, and I believe you want to hear it too, because you're here tonight. Of course, I believe that they know, we know, that God's got a plan and a purpose. So I'm going to tell you a little story about David. Remember he went out to war and he came back and he found out the Amalekites had taken all the family, his two wives, the children of all the people, all their stuff. And in fact, you'll find it. Where is that? If you want to read the story, go over to 1 Samuel chapter 30. What happened was the Amalekites had came in and taken everybody while they were out to war. And they came back and find out the whole family's gone. Everybody was grieving. The Bible says they wept so hard that they wept until they didn't have the strength to weep anymore. Then they wanted to come up and stone David. I like this poor guy. And there's when David said, I had to encourage myself in the Lord. I mean, nobody else was going to encourage him. They wanted to stone him. And so here it was. So he went to the Lord, asked him. The Lord said, go ahead, go get him. You'll get everything back. So what happened was 200 of the men were so exhausted from the previous battle that he allowed them to stay home and watch the supplies. Okay? So they wouldn't have been any good anyway because they were exhausted. And so the other 400 went out and got everything back plus and brought it back to the camp. And what happened was when the 400 came back, they were saying, you're not, the 200 that stayed behind, they're not getting anything. They didn't come with us, they're not getting anything. And David called them evil. What an evil thing to say. That's an evil statement. And David said, no, they stayed back, watched the stuff, they're getting fair share of the spoils. And then he made that a statute in all of Israel from that day on, that if you went to war, it didn't matter who went and who stayed behind. Somebody needed to stay behind the guard. So whoever went, then they were going to actually participate in the spoils. They were going to get their reward too, and it doesn't matter. And so I was kind of thinking about that, you know, because here they were thinking, well, we did all the work. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible said the Lord gave them the victory. See, they may have just went out there, but you know what? They could have worked their tail off fighting those people, but if God wasn't with them, they'd have lost. It was God that gave them the strength. But we have to remember that in everything we do. And when we're a success, it's God that does it. It's God that blesses you. You don't do it of your own accord. And so that's what was happening. And so David had to straighten them out. David had to show them that the treasure wasn't to be divided evenly, and that even though they grumbled and complained about it, that's the way God wanted it. And David understood the spiritual principle, but they didn't understand it. He had to teach them. So that, you know, God is the one that gives the increase. You may go, what was it, Paul, that waters and one plants, one waters, but God gives the increase. He is the one that gave the increase on their battles. And see, David understood that. And so he shared, and I thought, well, where is that in the New Testament? You know, so we have a New Testament on that too. And I found it in Matthew 20. So let's go over to Matthew 20 here real quick. Matthew 20. Here it is. For the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. Y'all heard this story before? And whom he had agreed with the labor for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour, that's about 9 a.m, and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said to them, go, you also, into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I'll give you. And they went their way. And again, out he went about the sixth and the ninth hour, that's like at noon and 3 o'clock. And about the 11th hour, he went out again, that's about 5 in the evening, late afternoon, and found others standing idle and said to them, why stand you here all day idle? So obviously, Jesus hates unemployment. Anyway, and they said to him, because no man has hired us. He says to them, go you also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. So when evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard said to his stewards, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning with the last to the first. Interesting how he would decide to do it from the last to the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, 5 p.m., they received every man a penny. And when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have worked but 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, which has bore the burden and heat of the day. And he answered one of them and said, friend, I do you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a penny? Take that yours is and go your way. I will give to this last even as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is your eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first and the first last. For many be called, but few are chosen. And I thought about that. Isn't that the same thing? See, David understood the principle, and so did Jesus. Obviously, Jesus made the principle. When you go and you do something for God, but you have somebody else that sent you so you can go and do it, guess what? The rewards that you reap from that harvest is theirs also. That's why it's so important, a partnership with this ministry. Because when Pastor Jack goes out into India and do the things that he does, I'll tell you what, those pastors, they're desperate. I mean, they're Christians. They become Christians. They're like outcasts. They're like, oh, no, yeah, bad karma now. We can't even give you a job. You might jinx our business. I mean, those kinds of, talk about suffering and sacrifice. And that's why if you can't go, you need to send. If you can't be there ministering the gospel, then sponsor one of those pastors. Let them go out and bring in the harvest. You get equal share in it. Who cares whether you're the one that goes or the one that sends? It's God that gives the increase, and he's the one who's going to pay you the reward. See, and this is the mindset that I believe God wants each of his children to have right now. It doesn't matter if you're the goer or you're the sender. You're getting equal share in the profit. And I'll tell you what, if you got that mindset, if everybody, every Christian in this world got that mindset, we'd get this whole world evangelized just like that. We would. That they know that the rewards they're going to have in heaven are going to be so great because they sponsored somebody or they sent somebody. I'll tell you what. But see, the problem is you just can't believe it. You got to believe it. The Bible says it. There it is. I gave you two instances. You know, the Bible says it. Two agree as anything. I mean, this is two witnesses. It's the Old Testament and the New Testament. David and Jesus. They both understood the same principle. And so this was one thing that I felt in my heart that God wanted you all to understand. And so I believe that we are just the warriors and he is the one who gives the increase. So therefore, participate. Okay? We need to participate. One of the things that I wanted to show you here in Philippians 4:17, if you want to go there, because this is when Paul went to Philippi on his road, the Philippians actually gave to Paul to help him in his journeys. You remember that? It was like, I think it said it was the only church that gave at that time. And it says in the Good News Bible, it is not that I just want to receive gifts. Rather, I want to see profit added to your account. When they gave for Paul's missionary journeys, it was actually, it was like a debit and credit account. They had a savings account. And it was being, rewards were being deposited into their savings account. And Paul was saying, it's not that I wanted it. It's that I was so excited to actually see that you're getting a reward for this. So you get a savings account with God. And then it says, another version says, it's not that I'm looking for a gift. The opposite is true. I'm looking for your resources to increase. Hallelujah. Isn't that neat? And so time is short, and I think God is calling us to participate in world evangelism. And Jesus was a missionary, wasn't he? he has a big mission field, and he wants you to participate in it, okay? He does want you to participate. He wants you to be one of his missionaries. And if you can't actually do the going, then you can do the sending, even if it's a dollar. I mean, those missionaries over there, what, $25 to $50 a month covers, takes care of a family? Especially now. I mean, it's really amazing how little they need over there because their needs are minimal. They don't have the luxuries that we have. And they use very wisely what they do have. They use it for necessities. And that amount is, you know, what they need for their necessities so they can go out and do the work of God and evangelize. And I get excited. What's that? What's $10? Oh, Cuba. And yeah, missionaries in Cuba, $10 a month takes care of them, their family. $10 a month. It's amazing. It's shocking. It really is. And we think about how we live. I came back after being over there and seeing what you're seeing, and you're like, oh my goodness. I just felt like I needed to repent or something. You know, but I'm not going to, you know, God has blessed me. So I'm not going to, you know, say, don't bless me. This is not fair. No, I want God's blessing. But there's a reason for it. So you can be a blessing. God wants everything evenly distributed. Okay? He gives you so you can give to them. Hallelujah. There's that devotional I was reading last night, and I wanted to write this down because it was so neat. I don't know if you ever heard of the Song of Angels. It's a devotional. It's actually a CD. If you go to songofangels.com, you can actually listen to his music. He had an encounter in heaven, went to heaven, and God showed him, Jesus talked to him. It was amazing. Anyway, this is what he said. His name is Freddie Haler, and he said, many people today ask, how can I know my call? What is my ministry? As an inner-city New York Sunday school evangelist has stated, if you want to know your ministry is when God shows you a need, and then you go and meet the need. Someone may need a job. Someone may need to be healed. Someone may need to be encouraged in prison. Someone may need groceries. Some may need clothes or medicine. Someone may need a track with the good news. Someone may need you to listen to their problems and to pray for them. Some of you may be called to a specific nation to preach the gospel or to plant a church or to do medical missions. But, now that's all things that we're supposed to do, but each of us is called to participate in winning souls to Christ and at least in some capacity to support or pray for missionaries to all the nations. Each of us is uniquely designed by God for a specific purpose. God has created each one differently, and he ardently loves those differences. The specific talents he has given you as an individual are the point of your strength. And I'll tell you what, when I look and see that, you know, 95% of the preachers in the world preached about 5% of the population, think about this. There's a big world out there, and 95% of us are only preaching to about 5%. What about the other 95% of the world that's been untouched and unreached yet? And, you know, and I was thinking about this, and I'm thinking, no, and I have nothing against Avon or any of these, you know, Amway or Quickstar or any of these, they're businesses. But you realize there's more distributors in those than there are active missionaries in the world? I want you to get a grasp of that. Where are our priorities? And that's what's so sad about this. And that's, you know, this is what Charles Spurgeon said. There are two types of Christians. Now, I don't want to, I'm sure you feel condemned about this. This is Charles Spurgeon. Not sitting there, okay? There are two types of Christians, soul winners and backsliders. I said, thanks, Charles. I mean, he's one of the on fire, miracle, sign and wonder type people of the past, okay? And that's what he said. That was his quote. And I'm like, well, I know God really used him. And he had the power of God, which means he had real purity in heart, right? He was a man without mixture, so God put a lot of power without measure in that man. And this is what he said. And so I had to think about that one today. I just read that one last night, too. I'm like, all these things you're giving me right now, I don't want this to be a condemning, you know, teaching. But at the same time, I want it to stir your heart. I want to stir your heart to do more for the kingdom, to be more of what God wants you to be, to get your blueprint out and say, teach me how to read this thing. Let me go. Let me start. And Oswald Smith said, no one has the right to hear the gospel twice while there remains someone who has never heard it once. Whoa. And John R. Mott said, the greatest hindrance to evangelism of the world are those within the church. And you put those three together, and boy, I was convicted last night. I'm like, oh, I want to do more. I want to do more. You know, so I was just, you know, I was thinking about Indians. They have 33 million gods. 33 million gods. And they don't know any better. That's the way they were raised. When I was over there, we would tell them about Jesus. Who's Jesus? I'm like, he's the one that made everything, even your gods, because all those gods are demons, right? Yeah, I mean, God made everything. So I said, he is the head honcho. He's the head. He's the top. Wouldn't you rather just go to the top instead of having to mingle through all these others to get to him? I'm going to tell you about the top guy. They didn't know. They never heard. And that's sad. I mean, there was 20 guys. They were all dressed in orange. And we were waiting at a train station. I asked the pastor, and I said, who are these guys? So I wanted to minister to them. So I said, would you come with me and interpret? I want to ask them some questions. So he said, yeah. So we went over there, and they're on a 40-day fast, nothing but water, going to the temple of their god. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. So I said, are you ready? I want to preach. I want to be a little evangelist at this moment. And so I shared with them about my God. And, you know, it's interesting. All those guys, a number of them said, you know, that's very interesting. You know what? I think I'd like to know more about your God. But we've got to finish this fast first if you do a word-off thing over here, you know. But it was sad that, you know, it was one that actually was had really come forward out of about 20 or 15 or 20 of them. I don't even count them all. And you could tell that if I could have just gotten him alone, but the others were gathered around, that he was. But I'll tell you what, they all know about Jesus now. And I told them, you are going to somebody that can't do anything for you. So I said, he's the top guy. He is God of God. He is the most high God. He's the highest that there is. There's no other God above him. And I know him personally. And I'm telling you about him now. And so, but it's exciting to be able to do that and share that. You know what? Maybe they didn't accept then, but I'll tell you what. They're going to remember this little short grandma Italian woman that came and told them about the most high God. And they're going to remember there's one higher than their God that they're going to fast to. So at some point in time, maybe another missionary will come in. All I did was planted the seed, right? Somebody else will come and water, and God will increase it. He will get the harvest. He will increase the harvest. Because whose harvest is it? It's not our harvest. It's God's harvest. He owns the earth. He owns everything in the earth, which means he owns all those who, you know, the full harvest. It belongs to him. We don't own it. We're just the people who work with him to bring in the harvest. So, but I think about those too, because there's children over there that are starving. There's parents that the poverty is so bad that they commit suicide. And that's what a lot of the kids, we have 51 kids in our orphanage, House of Joy orphanage. And that's what they do. They can't handle the poverty anymore. So what they do is they just kill themselves. And truly, those kids become orphans. But I'll tell you what, the pastors we have, they're raising them up. They're raising them. He says, I got 51. They're going to be evangelists and preachers, all of them. We're going to go out. So that's what they're doing. They're raising them in these orphanages. That's what they're doing. They're preaching the gospel to these kids. They're giving them the foundation that they need. And they're already planned for these kids to be the next evangelist. And when Pastor John, Jack was saying about the little girl who's the artist, there's a number of them that's happening right now. A number of them that God is raising up, and God is coming to them in their dreams and showing them pictures and giving them the gift to paint those pictures. And I just think that is a wonderful thing, but I sure hope it's because we're not doing our job. That God has to start, you know, using children. But it's a good thing. It's a good thing. But I don't want to make sure that I'm not missing out what I'm supposed to be doing. And so, but anyway, I just wanted to encourage you to share in the spoils of the victory with everybody. Because God wants you to participate in the battle, whether it's to go or whether it's to send. And so I think when God shows you a need, you just need to obey him wholeheartedly. Hands down, we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and the burdens of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has burdens. He has burdens. We need to get in line with the burden. And so you need to just answer the call. When God shows you the call, you just need to answer the call. So your neighbor might be just next door. Or your neighbor could be in India. Okay? I don't know where your neighbor is, but we're supposed to love our neighbor. And so when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, you will not only be rewarded for the lives you personally affected in your workplace and neighborhood, but also the thousands you couldn't reach personally, but you reached through the partnership. I just wish I can go into the future, see all the rewards that you can have and come back and tell you, if you're doing this and this, these are the rewards you're going to have. But I can't do that. But that's okay. I can tell you they're there and they're waiting for you. And if they're only a decision away. And so ask God to give you his eyes for the kingdom. Ask God to give you his eyes and his heart. And I know that the more you sow, the greater your rewards will be. And I think you'll be stunned and shocked on how far the progression of the kingdom will go when we get that mindset of the Father and the passion that he has for the lost. And that we just can't sit anymore and do nothing. That even if it's just a dollar a day, we'll put it aside and support someone. Even though you say, I don't have a dollar a day, but by faith, I'm going to believe it. I'm going to scrape until I find that dollar a day. And I'm going to trust that God is going to divinely bring it to me so I can support someone. Because I know you have pastors over there that need your support. They have children. They have children in this orphanage that need supplies to survive. Now I know what he's been going through because I'm going through it now and I can relate. And it's important. And it's not just India. I mean, it's other countries, but apparently God wanted me to talk about India tonight because that was the only word he gave me. And so out of that, I came across with this message. And I hope that it stirred inside you, stirred your heart for God to do miraculous things in you. And that you will get all the rewards that you deserve. Because God wants to reward you richly.